Hey, Simone, how's it going?
Pretty good. Do you believe in the great beyond?
Do I believe in...
ghosts!
Like dead people?
Like dead people.
What do you mean, do I believe in them?
Well, do you think you can maybe communicate with them?
Wow, I don't know. I don't think so, at least I've never successfully been able to do so, but... apparently it was a big thing back in the day, and there were tools that people used to reach the dead people that they've lost, and I don't really know what ever happened to that.
Yeah.
Lately, you know, people I ask don't really talk to the dead very often, but...
so lame.
I might be out of the loop.
Maybe, yeah, because, you know, my girls and I, Friday night, we love to pull out the old... Ouija board.
Why do you ask, Simone? Do you want to reach someone from the dead?
I like talking with people from the dead. In fact, I have never successfully spoken with anyone from the dead, but why not, you know?
I've never used a Ouija board, and apparently some people say it actually could lead to receiving messages from the dead, so maybe we can try that on Friday night.
We should try that. We should have a Ouija board night, and especially... now that we know more about it. Marina and I both just read a very interesting hub on Hub Pages written by Kentucky Sloan called The Ouija Board, A History, that gives a really nice overview of what he refers to as the most popular board game in the world.
And best-selling board
best-selling,
game in history.
Yeah, which is not, in fact. Maybe in its time, maybe in the year 1900.
Or like 500 BC.
Or like 500 BC, yeah. But not anymore, no. But it still has a very interesting background and history. So we wanted to talk about that as we read about it in this hub by Kentucky Sloan and some other places online. To share some of the fun details with you so that maybe you, too, can have a Ouija board Friday night.
Yeah, why don't we, for those of people who are listening who don't know what a Ouija board is or looks like, we looked up in Wikipedia for a definition that describes the Ouija board as just a flat board marked with the letters of the alphabet, numbers 0 through 9. The words yes, no, hello, and goodbye, as well as other symbols and words are sometimes added to help personalize the board. In its simplest form, I believe it was purely marked with few symbols and some of the letters.
Yeah,
of
an
the
alphabet, and then there was a yes, and no, and a
yes.
Goodbye.
And of course, depending on which route we trace back to history, the board probably looked a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the board, and there's also the way the board is used is... with a small heart-shaped piece of wood called a planchette, or some other movable indicator, according to Wikipedia, to help indicate this spirit's message by spelling it out on the board. So essentially, you're using this board as a tool to communicate with somebody who's dead.
Yeah, so like visual demonstration, let me see if I can describe it. Typically, one or sometimes more than one people or persons will sit with their hands on the planchette sitting on the board, and then involuntarily, the planchette starts to move around, pointing to different letters, and so you and your friend / friends are sitting there, and A, L, W, and then you just keep watching until something gets spelled out, and sometimes it moves very slowly, and sometimes it'll start jarringly moving very fast, and you, that's how you hear from people. Then you can ask questions and get yes or no answers. It's kind of like a magic eight ball plus your subconscious or spirits, whatever you want to.
Less shaking, more pointing.
Less shaking, more pointing, more freaked out giggling.
More candles.
Definitely more candles.
Less of that purple glue obscuring the actual message.
Oh, so annoying, right? See, it's just neat and organized.
So what does Kentucky Sloan tell us about the history of the Ouija board and its uses back in time?
Well, he says aside from the many different claims about its origins, which really range anywhere from, oh, it was 540 BC that was first made, or ancient China, or somewhere else, the Ouija board as we know it was actually patented on February 10th in 1891. The inventor was one E.C. Reich. Might be mispronouncing that, but he was a coffin and cabinet maker.
Great combination there.
Yeah, why not, right? all the dishes and dead people. But in 1886, as Kentucky Sloan says in his article, quote, Reich sold rights to the spirit board to the company Kennard Novelty Company, owned by Charles Kennard and several associates. But many believe that the board was invented by Elijah Bond, since his name is listed under inventor on the original patent documents.
Seems like a pretty strong claim.
Yeah. So I think it's fair to say that Elijah Bond is really responsible for the design of this particular use of the planchette plus lettering method.
Yes. And at least helping commercialize the game, which, you know, before was only used in few circumstances, probably.
Well, because really anyone can make anything using a planchette. Like, the planchette concept has been around. He says in his article, it was one of the first games involving communication with the spirit world. It's been around for a long time. It's actually French for the word little board. So anyone could use it. Anyone could make their own. It's just that they commercialized it.
Mm-hmm.
So, how much did the first one cost?
Well, Kentucky Sloan tells us that once the Kennard Novelty Company began producing them in 1890, they charged a whopping $1.50 to buy a single Ouija board. Funny enough, looking through Kentucky Sloan's hub, I thought about purchasing one because I really don't know if it works or not until I try it.
You try it out, right? Take it for a test drive.
They're already $20 on Amazon.
Yep, kind of expensive for a not-so-popular toy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's something there with the Ouija board.
Well, I guess $150 in 1890.
It was a lot of money.
That's not, that's
for a game, a frivolous game that you would just...
Yeah, well, and $150 was like, you could get a car for... I don't know, I can't do the math, but that's pretty expensive. Anyway, the game itself, Charles Kennard was basically thrown out of his company, the Kennard Novelty Company, in a hostile takeover, and this other guy took over, and his name was William Fold, and he... there seems to be this
I thought this whole, you know, fighting over the company name part of the hub was hilarious.
Because
late 1800s.
It's because before branding existed, everyone decided, like, oh, as soon as it's my company, we're going to change the company to, you know, my name. And so William Fold became the manager of this company, and he changed its name to the William Fold Company.
First it was the Ouija Novelty Company, and then...
Yeah, that's right.
And then once he got angry at his brother, Isaac, I believe, who also took the company with him.
Yeah.
He got rid of his brother and then changed it to William Novelty Company.
I know, take that, jerk.
Anyhow, in 1966, it was sold from his family to Parker Brothers.
Yeah.
Which makes it easier.
Which is pretty vanilla. No drama there. Well, there probably is a lot of drama. We just don't know about it. But yeah, that was there was a lot of changing of hands. But Kennard, I think, was really one of the really influential people. He was the one who named the Ouija board the Ouija board. On Wikipedia, it says that, Ouija is a combination of the French word yes and the Dutch word yes.
Yeah.
But Charles Kennard actually said that he got the name from an actual session with the Ouija board that he had with a young woman. And apparently the ghost that they were talking with said that Ouija meant good luck. So...
Well, yeah, the board said it wanted its name to be Ouija. I did think it was funny that Kentucky Sloan mentioned during this session, the lady that Kennard actually had participated with was Miss Peters, who was the sister-in-law of Elijah Bond, and he's the guy who is listed as the inventor, so I don't know.
There's a little bit of, like, family influence in there.
Maybe, yeah. There's, you know, the people that were claiming rights over it were also trying to use it and make it seem more real.
The world was so small back then.
It was.
What are the chances? What are the chances? I kind of like to think that it's just a spirit that was like, let's give this a really weird name. And these jerks want to name this stupid board. I don't know. If I were a spirit, I don't know how much time I would spend, like, hanging around people who are like, speak to me from the great beyond.
Yeah, you'd think you'd have better things to do or cooler people to hang out with.
Movies to watch. I mean, you don't have to pay for anything anymore.
Speaking of which, let's segue into kind of the effects that the Ouija board
these weird
created.
People who were sitting around the board.
Yeah, what actually happened and how did society react to it?
Yeah, so the Ouija board actually was one small part of a very large and interesting movement that took place in the United States primarily, right around the turn of the century. And one big part of this trend and interest in the great beyond and communicating with spirits was known as spiritualism.
Yes. Kentucky Sloan mentions that in 1948, sisters Kate and Margaret Fox claimed that they had made contact with the spirit of a peddler.
Exciting.
And I guess these two sisters had regularly communicated with spirits. They developed their own system by which the spirits could knock to convey messages. And they were kind of a focal point of spiritualism in the United States.
Well, pretty much like right around 1900, I think, was when it...
Yeah, maybe. Anyhow.
Yeah, no, it was around 1900.
So sisters Kate and Margaret Fox kind of started this obsession, which was known as spiritualism. And
yeah, and then there were spiritualist churches.
There were a lot of people that claimed they could communicate with the dead, and
yeah,
they
suddenly
let her
became everyone
known.
Was a medium.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's how we got mediums.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, that was really exciting. In fact, it really started around the 1900s, right around the turn of the century, continued to be a really big deal throughout this whole period. A lot of it was just... There were a lot of fakes out there saying that they communicate with people. There were a lot of people who would have these systems to make it look like tables were rising and stuff. So most of it was a lot of fakeness, which is one reason why Harry Houdini, who's also one of the famous people of the early 20th century, associated with things like the mysterious side of the world and tricks and illusions, I guess. He became very obsessed with the idea of spiritualism. Maybe because, as Kentucky Sloan points out in the article, he said he knew at least five people who had been driven insane, not just by the concept of spiritualism, but by the board itself.
Yes, which, you know, marks a pretty dramatic turn in how the game was widely perceived. I mean, first, yeah. When it came out, it was considered a fun parlor game, and then it became more serious and was seen as a way to communicate with the dead. It became much more accepted that there is life beyond the grave. And then it took a turn for the dark.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, people apparently started going crazy because of the board. In fact, a lot of doctors started to claim that people who used the Ouija board tended to exhibit strange behavior and had to be committed after that.
The former medical director from New Jersey said the board was a major cause of mental illness. So just like that, or, you know, maybe over a span of 50 years, people suddenly started to be paranoid about what this game did to others, especially those who used it frequently.
Yeah. So, I mean, if Harry Houdini was pointing that out, I just want to say, like, he was a huge leader in the world of questioning spiritualism. He believed in it so much that he really wanted to test it. Because, I mean, he was all about illusions. So he had a secret code word with his wife where when he died, he was supposed to say from beyond somehow to her, Rosabelle, believe.
Mm-hmm.
And if she heard that anywhere, it was like proof that spiritualism worked, that you could communicate beyond the grave.
It didn't work, did it?
Nope, never heard that. So, I mean...
Devastating.
Devastating, and it is kind of disappointing. But if he was questioning it, and it was part of his investigation of the world of spiritualism, apparently it was a pretty big deal. It's interesting, though. I wonder if they thought that people were going crazy because they were just... being too playful and their imaginations were getting away from them. Maybe like some schizophrenia like was being indulged by playing with that.
Maybe there is a prior just obsession with the idea of contacting someone.
Maybe,
and
yeah. And it just
repetition
kind
of that, maybe.
Yeah. They thought that like, maybe, I mean, the big thing that I imagine would be an issue with mental patients and Ouija boards is like, yes, those voices in your head are someone. But maybe, I don't know, maybe they're, maybe they just thought that people are actually becoming possessed or something.
Yeah, and that would kind of make sense, and it probably didn't help once The Exorcist came out in the early 70s.
That kind of was the nail in the coffin for the Ouija board, because the little girl, have you seen The Exorcist?
I have seen The Exorcist.
I totally forgot about this part.
Yep.
But the little girl starts to communicate with the demon that eventually possesses her. Via Ouija board.
I mean, she had to get possessed by something. Yeah. Or she
Wasn't
had to get possessed by the
like Mr. Howdy
something.
Or something.
That sounds right.
Mr. Howdy, I think. Yeah.
And so, yeah, she became possessed by a demon. And the rest of that movie gets scary. I guess
just
once
a
the
little.
Just a tad. that's a different discussion, but a very relevant one. Basically, after the movie got released, though, it really scared the bejesus out of a lot of people who had
really
Ouija
did.
Boards. And so, out of fear, they burned their boards. And apparently, that was just, like you said, the nail in the coffin. The board never fully regained the popularity it once enjoyed. It probably didn't help that there was all this negative sentiment leading up to The Exorcist. And
and then just everyone... And maybe people had forgotten it by the 70s. You know, it was just kind of this fun parlor trick. And then it became associated with evilness. In fact, Kentucky Stallone has in his hub on the Ouija board a couple of little polls where readers have left their feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them was, do you think the Ouija board is evil? And over half of the respondents so far have said, yep. I do.
I wonder if that's because they think the creators are evil, or the board itself is
I'm
possessed.
I'm not sure they think the board is a danger.
Or if it's a danger.
Yeah. I mean, the way that I know a couple, this is the Bay Area.
Yes,
I know a couple
is.
Of people who fancy themselves able to communicate with the beyond or other realms or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them say... that one of the big issues is if you let something cross over, like mentally, if you leave those doors open,
mm-hmm.
it can. It has power, but only as much as you give it. And perhaps people who believe that there are spirits out there that can be a danger to oneself and others, that if you use a Ouija board, you are kind of opening a door and saying, like, hey, come hang out. Like, I'm going to let you just wreak havoc or something. Maybe then it's dangerous. I really don't know because I... I'm just about as spiritual as, I don't know, a doorknob. And just for reference, they're not spiritual.
They're not.
No.
One other funny thing that I read about the Ouija board and practical application of it that I guess was not so relevant in the end, but still is a funny coincidence. In 1994 in London, convicted murderer Stephen Young... was granted a retrial after it was learned that four of the people that were on that jury had conducted a Ouija board seance and had contacted the murdered man, who conveniently told them that Young was the killer. You would think, you know, that happened, and then I guess once the retrial happened, Young was nonetheless convicted for a second time and jailed for life, but... I want to know more about that. Did the jurors get together and have this seance?
Can you just imagine in some old courthouse?
Yeah.
Bunch of,
I don't know
well,
what
we
to
don't,
do.
I don't know if he's, you know, is he guilty? The evidence isn't clear. Let's just talk to the guy who was murdered.
The sad thing is our legal system today probably employs similar methods.
Yeah.
Adjudicating trials.
Well,
but...
hey, why not? I mean, those guys probably thought they were pretty smart. Like, why didn't anyone else think of this?
Yeah,
Let's
mean...
just talk to the guy who was killed.
It's too difficult to answer. There's clearly an easy way to do it, which is ask the person, yeah.
It doesn't have to be very hard.
Primary evidence.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who thinks
evidence.
That they're finding information, though, is good for me. I my first reaction to Ouija boards when I was introduced to them was... Oh, this is silly, because I thought I was introduced to it as, like, it always had to be a two-person game, so two people had to have their hands on it.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and I sort of was like, well, whoever I'm going to do this with is just going to be pulling my leg the whole time and moving it around really fast and trying to freak me out when, you know, so I always thought it was a mind game of, like, who can freak someone else out? And
yeah.
It wasn't until actually somewhat recently that I... realize that people actually use these in seriousness.
That is a really good point, playing with other people or using it with other people, because you really have to trust that they're not pulling your leg.
Well, that's why...
Do you remember
yeah.
Bloody Mary and Candyman and
exactly.
all those ridiculous things that you hear as a kid? I remember trying to do those.
Yep.
Just for those who don't know, you stand in the mirror and close your eyes, count to 10 or some other number, and some scary bloody person's supposed to appear in the mirror and then
yep.
kill you.
Yep.
I definitely remember freaking out and thinking I had seen it, but
yeah,
I bet it was just
mind games. Much of it is mind games.
There's only one way to find out if the Ouija board is legit, Simone, and I think we just have to test it out.
We just need to do this. Yep, it's we need to. It's
just got to figure out who we want to contact and what precious bit of information.
Heath Ledger, because he's gorgeous.
Done.
Yes. All right. I'm glad that we have a plan. If you, listeners out there, have used a Ouija board and communicated with the great beyond, or maybe your neighbor who was dreaming, which would be even cooler.
Interesting.
Yeah. We want to hear about it. Send us an email at podcast@hubpages.com and tell us what you think of Ouija boards, if you've used them before, if you have any cool stories to share, and if you do, we'll talk about them in the next podcast. We'll also take any suggestions on new subjects to cover, because, gosh, there's so much information on Hub Pages, and we don't know what to...
We don't know what to pick.
Yeah. Oh, there's too much. So help us. Anyway, thank you for listening today.
Thank you.
Please do not become possessed when you use your Ouija board.